Well, good morning, everyone. Are you excited to be here this morning? Good. That's a good answer, actually. I like that response. We'll have some more of that as the service goes on. Welcome to all of our fellowship who are on Zoom with us this morning. You may well be in your own homes or wherever you are. You might be on holiday even, but you are with us here in spirit. So greetings to you all. I've got one notice for you. Well, two notices I've got actually for you. The first one I'll put up on the screen. Harvest is upon us. It's the 11th of September. We're going to bring your food donations, as we would normally do. And we will be giving those over to the food bank. We have a trolley for them. So please start bringing your food donations in. Even if you're coming here during the week for some other reason, prayer meeting, Bible study, whatever it is you're doing, you can bring your donations. If you leave them down here on the stage, then we'll put them all together, and they're going to go to the local food bank. But we're also welcoming from you financial donations this year for Tier Fund. They are, this year, in particular, supporting the farming and needs in Nepal. So that's what we're going to be doing with our harvest. But also, we've decided that we will have a lunch together on Harvest Sunday. It'll be a simple lunch after the service. You don't need to bring anything. Everything will be supplied. How wonderful is that? Amen, Lord. Thank you for that. Yeah, please sign up. I think there'll be a sheet of paper if you're grabbing a cup of tea or what have you after the service. Please do, by the way, join us for a cup of tea after the service. There'll be a sheet there, and if you want to put your name down, just to give us an idea of numbers. But all will be welcome on the day. And if you want to bring someone with you as a guest, please do. Bring a guest on Harvest Sunday. We can give thanks for the Lord's bounty, and then we can share in some food together. Wouldn't that be lovely? The second notice I've got for you is about the prayer meeting on Tuesday. Apparently there are some more electrical works going on in the building on Tuesday. So the prayer meeting on Tuesday morning at 10:30 will be in Revive again. That's correct, isn't it? Look at my good lady wife there. Thank you. Right, so those are our notices for this morning. Let us bow our heads in prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a cool building to come in on warm days. We thank you that we're dry. We thank you that we're safe. We thank you, Lord, that we have this provision in which we can come together as your fellowship, your chosen people, and we can worship you. But Lord, it's not always easy. Sometimes we find it difficult when we come through those doors because we're carrying so much with us. All the worries and the concerns of the week. Lord, by your Spirit, come and be in this place and enable us to put all those worries and those foolish things down and be here and worship you, Lord. Really worship you. Worship you in the Spirit. Help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A few words from one of my favourite psalms, I love this psalm. If I feel down and I'm a bit in the dumps, I'll flip this psalm open. My heart is confident in you. Oh God, my heart is confident. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will make the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among all the nations, for your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Every day we get up, don't we? And every day the Lord makes us a new day. And that's what we're going to stand and sing our first hymn. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated, everyone. Just occasionally, when you get, I get the privilege to lead worship. It's a wonderful thing, I tell you. It's lovely. I enjoy doing it, and it is such a privilege. But just occasionally, it's a special privilege. And today is one of those days. Because we are going to be welcoming Pam Poole as a new member of Desborough Baptist Church. Hallelujah! Yes! Great! It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, for the Lord to choose someone to add to our membership. And we are very pleased to have you here, Pam, by the way. So you can come up here and join me, isn't it? Oh, yes. Yeah, well, I don't want you falling over. Don't want to injure you before we put you to work. Sorry. If you want to come and stand here. I had the privilege of going and meeting with Pam and interviewing her with Nick before we put it to you in the membership meeting. And we had a lovely time of sharing together. And, of course, for us, for Nick and I, it was great because we got to hear lots about your past. Mm-hmm. And the many, many years of being a Christian and serving in Christian as a Christian, a witness in your different communities that you've been in, different churches. Well, I think I'm right in saying this is the first time you've been to a Baptist church, isn't it?
It is.
First time to be a member of a Baptist. Yeah. Another one properly. Sorry. Oh, no, sorry. I jest. But you're very welcome here. So I'm going to put some questions to you, because one of the things we do in this church every year is we covenant, don't we? We re-covenant with each other and with God. We do a re-covenant service. And as Pam is joining us in membership, then we extend that covenant to her, and you extend your fellowship covenant, if you like, with her. So we're going to do this in some responses. The words are going to be up on the screen here. To begin with, this is for Pam, and I will say the words in not in bold, and you will say the words in bold, okay? Uh-huh. And then afterwards, I'm coming to you guys as members. So, Pam, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
I do, and I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
As Baptist Christians, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So now I'm going to ask the members of the congregation to please stand, if you can. And you will respond with the words in bold type, please. Do you welcome Pam into the fellowship of this worshipping community? God has given us the gift of Pam, and through her has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Pam in Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership? Will you pray for Pam and encourage her through hospitality, friendship, and prayer? Amen. So Christine is going to come and pray for Pam and for the wider membership.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the great love you have shown to us. in that you allowed your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our places and to pay the price for the sins that we have committed so that we can live forever with you. Thank you that you have made yourself known to us as individuals. You tell us in your word that you have chosen to spread the good news of Jesus Christ our Saviour through your church. We recognise that that means through us as members of Desborough Baptist Church, both as individuals and as a church family. We thank you that Pam Poole has decided to start this new phase in her life journey and to become part of your family at Desborough Baptist Church, adhering herself to us. We thank you for her faith, her passion and her witness, as well as her willingness to become part of our pastoral team. We pray that Pam will, with your help and guidance, grow in love and strength here. Please watch over her, protect her, and continue to strengthen her faith. As a church family, we ask for forgiveness when we fail to reach the expectations of church membership, to worship regularly with our church family, to take part in the Lord's Supper, to attend the church meetings, to support our church through our giving of time, talents and money, as well as to read our Bibles and pray regularly. We are so incredibly in need of your power and your strength. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit of love and unity among us as well as believers all around our world. We ask for your help to set aside our differences and look to the greater cause, the cause of Christ. Please help us to truly live out a life of love. We know that this is only possible through the power of your Spirit. So we ask that you would move across our church, our community, and our land in miraculous ways with fresh filling and awareness, turning your people back to you, drawing others to come to know you. We need your unity and your love to stir our hearts and give direction to our days. We need your wisdom to guide us. We need your Spirit to lead us to live out godly lives that would bring honour first to you. We thank you that you are always with us and give us great purpose and hope. We ask that you would help us to grow more like you and to fulfil our church statement to help people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, you're going to stay for communion.
Oh, you're all right for a minute. Pam, I offer you on behalf of the congregation, Desborough Baptist Church, the right hand of fellowship. And thank you. Welcome to our membership. And there's a card. And if anybody watches, yes. If you come and sit down here in a minute, we will be gathering around the Lord's table. Wonderful. We're going to sing first, so you're all right. That's wonderful, and I hope all of you get the opportunity to greet Pam with the right hand of fellowship into our membership after the service. But now what we're going to do is we're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord with our hearts and our voices. We're going to lift all our praises to God. And we're going to connect with the Spirit through music. It's great when we sing, isn't it? Because we become one voice. And that's what we're meant to be. We're meant to be one voice. The Lord's voice. So let's stand and sing together. I'm wondering what the hymn is because I've moved my sheets. So we're going to sing two songs together. The first one is a Matt Redman song called Once Again. It'll be on the video here. And the second one is a new song. Oh no, I hear you all thinking, oh no, not another new song, Matt. It is a new song, but It's from City of Light, and we sing one of their songs I've introduced to you before, which is Yet Not I, But Christ in Me, which we seem to have taken on really well, and it's a nice song that's easy to get the tune and get the words. So here is a new song, or another song from City of Light. It's called You're a Good and Gracious King. Okay, but it's really easy to get the tune, and the words are wonderful. So let us stand, worship, sing, and enjoy the Lord.
Once again, I
You've invited us to pour out our lives to you. And this can be the only response, Lord Jesus, that we can have to the love and the sacrifice that you have made for us. Why? Because you are a good and gracious King. Approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King.
Fill me with your soul.
We're going to take some time now to come around the Lord's table. Do you know you are accepted by God's love? Do you know that he wants to forgive you? And all you need to do is bring empty hands. Isn't that amazing? It is. Hallelujah. John's gospel tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then that Word became flesh. That is our Jesus Christ. And the darkness has not overcome. Sorry. And then that Word became flesh and made his dwelling place among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Many have chosen to reject the truth, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. What a beautiful thought that is, to become a child of God. Have you made the decision to become a child of God? That's something you can only do in your own heart, in your own time, and it's between you and the Lord Jesus. No one can do it for you. It's a choice we have to make. If you have, then you're invited to join around this table. But for a moment, I just want us to spend some time in reflection about what Jesus actually did to bring us that grace, what his mercy was worth to him. What was he willing to do? How far would his mercy extend? Well, it's all the way to the cross. And so I'm just going to play a bit of music. It's a Matt Redman song called Mercy. You can stay seated. Stay seated. Use this time to reflect. You can sing the words if you wish. You use the time how the Spirit leads you.
I will kneel in the dust. Where the love I deserve, it is gone, it has passed, your blood has healed me. Mercy, mercy, as endless as the sea, I sing. We will lift up the cup and the blood we will drink, remembering your love. We will fall from grace, but you took all our sin and nailed it to a cross. Mercy. Mercy, as endless as the sea, I'll sing your hallelujah for all eternity. Sing mercy, mercy, as endless as the sea, I'll sing your hallelujah for all eternity.
I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. May I never lose the wonder, oh, the wonder of your mercy. May I sing your hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
It is by God's mercy that we can come around this table. It is by his grace that is on the table as to offer in the first place. So you are invited, if you know and love the Lord Jesus, to come and share in the Lord's Supper. But we gather around this table as Lord's children in obedience with the command that Jesus gave his disciples the night they were all together celebrating the Passover meal. He took bread. And he broke it, and he shared it. Then he took wine, and they drank together, commanding them to do this in remembrance of what he was about to do for them and has done for all of us, to offer his life as an atonement for our sin. Therefore, you are invited to this table not because you have to, but because you choose to. Not because of your own strength. You never earned any right to come round this table, folks. But because we come in our weakness. Come round this table seeking God's mercy and help. Come round this table because you love the Lord a little bit and you'd so like to love him a lot more. And you'd like your life to reflect that. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's bow our heads for a moment. A prayer of repentance. We must put ourselves right before God before we eat and drink from this. Heavenly Father, we know that we are sinful people. We know we fall short. It's difficult. There's a constant battle going on with inside us, Heavenly Father, and some days it just seems so hard. But we know that you are merciful, full of grace and kindness and quick to forgive. And so we come before you this morning and we ask for your forgiveness on the things in our lives that displease you, Lord. Those thoughts that creep over our minds, the things that jump out of our mouths as a reaction before we've had time to consider and respond, Lord. Sometimes we do things without loving. Sometimes we do things with selfishness and we're conceited, Lord. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing those things. We're guilty of sin we have no idea of. Father, we bring them all to the foot of the cross before you now. Lord Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness for these things. Restore us and renew us in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. For it is through you that we may enter the kingdom of heaven, because you are the one who brings forgiveness. And we ask this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. If my two servers would like to come up and, I say, find a space. There's not much up here. Got a big stage and there ain't much space up here. Sorry, I didn't think of that when we were doing this. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells us this in his own words. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I remain in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me, and in the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die, but will live forever. Therefore we take the bread and we will share it and we will eat as we receive, but then we will have the cup and we will retain the cup and we will share that together as a community of God's people. Pam, may I serve you first? Thank you. The body of Christ for you. If I give that one to you, then I'll get one to you. Thank you. We eat as we receive. Once Jesus had broken the bread and shared, after the supper he then took the cup. This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood, he said. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. So in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we drink together as this part of God's body of Christ in this part. Desborough, we are together until he comes again. Amen. Oh, where's my blipper? As time is upon us, we're going to move on to the reading this morning, which comes from Galatians. Paul's letter to the Galatian church says this. So I say, this is Galatians 5, 16 to 25. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah. So let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And I figure that he could have carried on for some time, I think, Paul. He had a handle on this, didn't he? And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So, we're going to sing our next hymn, I think. Where's Brian? Before I have a message for you. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, or O my great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. Let's stand and sing together. Please be seated, everyone. So I'm going to whiz through some of this because the time is getting on. But, you know, I thought it would be a prudent thing to do this morning to talk a little bit about membership and about being a Baptist. Just to fill you, well, just some sort of fresher, it's a reminder, isn't it, really? And I took this off the BU's website, the Baptist Together website. They're a movement of local churches supported by regional association, colleges, specialist teams, collectively known as Baptists Together. Okay? This is the Baptist Union of Great Britain and Baptists Together. And this is what we do as Baptist churches. We are autonomous in our own right, but we're also all part of something bigger and wider. The basis of Baptist Together gives local churches complete autonomy in their own decision-making. There is no organisational hierarchy, which is what I was just saying. There is a declaration of principle there, which I'm not going to read out given the time. But it basically sums up what we believe in. Local churches, associations, colleges and specialist teams contribute to the shared national life through the Baptist Union of Great Britain charity. And part of what we're going to be doing as a church, which is really exciting, isn't it, is Nick is going to become our minister in training very, very soon. It's almost here. And he'll be going to Regent's Park College. It's one of those colleges it's talking about there. And he will be helped, guided by the Baptist Union in his training process to become a fully-fledged minister. Governance and organisational structure for the Baptist Union of Great Britain's charity looks like this. Trustees, overseers, Baptist Union Council that discern the broad strategy of what's going to happen, Baptist steering groups. In some ways, we mirror this as a church, because we too have trustees and we too have steering groups as well within the church that help us guide what we're going to do and actually get things done. So we do the same sort of thing. But always, we are governed by Christ. The Assembly of Baptists Together vote on key appointments and decisions, and so do we in our membership, don't we? So there are many parallels. Four areas of shared national work enabling us to grow healthy churches in relationship for God's mission. Let's remember, folks, what we're here for and what we're doing, it's not ours, it belongs to God. It's God's mission in the world. God has a mission in the world. Okay, it's not the church that has a mission in the world, right? God has the mission, all right? So pioneering and planting, that's churches and spreading. Voices in the public square, yeah, you know, because as Christians we're meant to speak out, aren't we? And we're meant to actually be that voice in our society that shares the love of God. Then we are hopefully, the Baptist Union also has a section for equipping churches for mission, that's the home mission. And then there is the investing in godly leadership, which we are being part of in so much as that we are going to pay for Nick's training. And here we have Baptist Together, key priorities. What is God's call to us now? Children, young people and families. Well, yes, amen to that. And we definitely need some more of that here. Emerging adults. Well, you know, that's what we do. Embrace adventure. Well, I look at that and I think to myself, don't be afraid of changes. You know, don't be afraid to try something new. New ways to reach out in our community. New ways to spread the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the great message of the gospel into our communities. Let's not get ourselves stuck in doing the same old thing. Let's be willing to be diverse. Great. Ladies nodding heads upstairs. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Developing leadership. Well, we're doing that. We're doing that all the time, believe it or not. And then there is the digital revolution, because our younger people, I say younger people, it's been going on for a while now, but most of their communication takes place in the digital world. So this digital revolution that's going on, unless we are part of it, we get left behind. And it's really important that we embrace the digital platforms where people are receiving their information. You hear a lot of the word fake news bandied around, don't we? Well, we need to be the true news, the good news. And that needs to reach people on all levels, and part of that is the digital revolution. And it's important that as a church we grow in that direction as well. So, Baptist Together is committed to intentionally developing a culture where we seek to be a movement of spirit-led communities, feel like we're a team, embrace adventure, inspire others, and share a hunger for God's coming kingdom. And seek to be a movement of spirit-led communities is a little bit what I'm going to talk about now. Church membership demonstrates that we have understood the importance of church in the mission of God, and that the church is described in the Bible as the people of God. In 1 Peter 2:9, they stumble. This is what Peter writes. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. Verse 9, he goes on to say, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Do you feel like a chosen people? Some days. Some days I wonder. But I think we all have days like that, don't we? When things are against us. But we are. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, we are a chosen person. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to be chosen? Do you remember school sports day, you know, when you pick the team business, you know? Now, I've got to say, I was a bit football mad, and I was never picked last. But I know that for many, being picked for a team was a horrific ordeal. Because you weren't chosen until last, and you didn't feel like you were wanted. Well, guess what, peeps? That's not what the Lord Jesus does. He picks all of those who will accept him with open arms, and we're all first. There is no, well, I guess we'll have to have him then on the end of picking a team. That's not how Jesus works. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. I like that. I like the idea of being God's possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Hang on a minute. Think about that. As a result, you can show other people the goodness of God. What a privilege that is. Now, if that doesn't excite you, nothing's going to excite you in the Bible, is it? You get the opportunity as a chosen child of God to show other people the goodness of God. Ooh, I like the sound of that. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Church membership demonstrates, therefore, the reality of our personal commitment as declared in baptism. It shows, therefore, the sincerity of our commitment to Christ and to Christ's people, because we are not holding back from people. Acts 2:41-42 says, just as the first Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayers, and so too we devote ourselves to the studying of the scriptures, the teaching, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread with one another. Church membership helps to build strong churches by making sure that each church is supported by a core of people who are prepared to commit their time, energy, finance, and their own spiritual gifts, talents, for the building up of the body of Christ. Being a member, therefore, means becoming an active participant in the crucial work of sustaining congregations and passing on the faith to the new generations. It also means taking a responsible part in the church's governance. Since church members share in the process of making decisions within our Baptist church. So there is a responsibility. Church membership isn't a membership of a club. It comes at a price. It needs something from you. It needs you to be connected spiritually to the Lord Jesus. So that in all we do and all we decide, we are a movement of body that is guided by one Spirit. And that is the mind of Christ. Being a member of God's church is therefore a lifestyle choice. We enter into a new community of God's people. And we leave behind the old ways. We reject the ways of the world, the sinful ways of the world, and we say, actually, we've got to be something different. We've got to be something more, something much more beautiful. So we seek to be a movement, then, of a spiritually led community. The community of believers is bound together by the mind of Christ, which the Apostle Paul tells us comes from having the Spirit of truth, 1 Corinthians 2. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Do you realize that being spiritually connected to the Lord Jesus is to know the mind of Christ? That doesn't make you an authority, it makes you a conduit. We have to hear the Spirit. We have to respond to the Spirit. We must be a spiritually led community of people. And that way, the things that we do will be pleasing and honoring to God. They will glorify God. Yes? Is it a good thing for us to glorify God in our community? Yes, of course it is. Therefore, it is the Spirit that binds us together in a shared and common goal. Not all with the same task and purpose, but all working together to reveal the glory of God to a world that is destroying itself because it has forsaken God's goodness. It demands to be in control of itself and it wants to choose its own destiny. Not working out too well though, is it? The world needs to see the goodness of God. And as Peter writes, you have been chosen as God's own possession to be children of God and granted the great honor of showing the goodness of God wherever you go. Does this mean you are good? Forget it. No, you are not. But you have the goodness of God living within. For the mind of Christ has made a home within all who choose Jesus through faith. He will lead you as an individual, and he will lead us as a church toward the good things that God has pre-planned in advance for us to do. How wonderful, therefore, it is to know that when we, as a spiritually led community, act out of faith and the goodness of God, we are participating in the restoration of God's kingdom. I'm not going to pretend it's going to be easy, because there is an internal battle that takes place every day. And Paul tells us, the Galatian church, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The more we follow the Spirit, the greater the sinful cravings are subdued. But unfortunately, they never go away. Not in this lifetime. We'll always be under temptation. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. One of the benefits and purposes, of belonging to a spiritually led community is that we will have strength to build one another up. And we're going to need that. We're going to need to support each other and encourage one another in faith and in actions. Because there's times when we're going to feel on our knees. The Bible says that we should bear with one another in love. And I love to point out that does not mean put up with each other. Although we ought to, but you know. We don't bear with one another in love. When you bear with somebody, you get a hold of the other end of the heavy load or the heavy burden that they're carrying, and you carry it with them. What do they say? A problem shared is a problem halved. We bear with each other. We bear the difficulties, the strains, and the load. We bear the responsibilities together, and it makes us stronger. We will be no means exempt from the struggles of life, sorrows, pains. But we now belong to a community of love in our membership. For Jesus is love. The gospel shows us a Jesus of love, acting and responding out of love throughout his ministry. Wherever he went, he responds to the needs of the individuals and the communities with love, serving people, feeding them, healing them, guiding them, rescuing them. We need to be, therefore, a community of God's children that respond in the same way. not easy. But I found that being prepared for the needs of the community is a good step in the right direction. We need to be prepared. What do I mean? I've found that when I react to things, you might find this yourself. When I react to something in the moment, you know, like this, something happens and you just react. Yeah, when I react to things in the moment, perhaps I'm caught off guard, I'm much more likely to respond selfishly or with judgment or negatively. My sinful nature seems to pop its ugly head up in those moments of reaction. It shows its ugly face. However, when I find myself prepared, I find myself responding. It's much more loving because I've had time to throw out the thoughts I don't want. And I say, as a church, we must be prepared. Be prepared to respond to the needs of our community and be led by the Spirit of love. We know that our community, and even many of us, may be facing financial difficulties soon. There is a crisis, a financial crisis upon us. And in the next coming months, there will be people making choices between heating or eating. Many will find paying bills impossible, and as a church, we need to be ready to respond to that. And ready to respond to our community. Yes, we must look after each other, but this is not a club for us. This is a community of God's children for all who are not in here. They need to see the goodness of God coming from us. We've put together a small group in the church, and we've called it the DBC Response Team, because we want to be able to make a response to our community needs. Perhaps you might like to join in with it. Think about that. We're looking at ways in which we can practically respond to the things that come to our door, to the need that there's going to be. We're going to look about what we should be doing, action as a membership. Jesus has definitely set it on the hearts of a handful of people so far to come together and produce this response team. It's wonderful to hear that the Spirit is leading people to pre-plan action. I would ask you to consider that for yourselves, to get involved in serving our community. It's your community, it's our community. It belongs to us. We're part of it. There was something that I'm just going to come to a finish because I'm seeing the time, but I'm just going to come to a close, because there was something that Peter Strong said up here a handful of weeks ago, and the comment just will not leave me. And it kind of fits in with this morning, because here we are as a community of God's loving people, meant to be showing the goodness of God to people, to a world that has forsaken God, a world that is despondent about God. You know, I've changed my job recently. I now work in a factory, and I get to talk to lots of people. And I get the great blessing now and again of being able to talk to people about my faith, and they know about some of my past in training, and so on. And the response I generally get from people about the Christian faith is that we're just a faith like any other. We're just a religion like any other. There's no difference. They can't see it. It doesn't mean anything different from them from any other religion, whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam. It doesn't make any difference to them. It's not speaking to them. And as far as they're concerned, God, well, God is not a solution to any kind of problem that they've got. Peter said, they are disappointed in God because we, the church, are not available. It struck a nerve with me. And I was thinking about some of these conversations I have and some of the ways in which they respond to a God who loves them. That A, they don't believe that God loves them because they can't see that God loves them. There's no action coming from God. And guess what, folks? We, the chosen, the chosen people, we were chosen to be that action. So if we are not in action, then they are disappointed because the church is not available. I walked into up to a shop a few weeks ago, it was now, and as I went to go in, the door didn't open, and there was the notice on the shop, "I'll be back in 10 minutes. And I wondered about that for us. Is there a sign on the front of Disrupt Baptist Church that says, "I'll be back in 10 minutes? Are we out? I'm not accusing anything. I'm just asking. Let's rip the sign down. Let's get the door open. Let's serve our community and let them see the goodness of God coming through you and I. Only one way to do it, and that's through Christ. He's going to bring us, if we're ready, we make preparations in his name, he will deliver. He will deliver the strength we need, he will deliver the resources we need, he'll do everything we need. We just have to be willing. Let's be willing to serve our community. In Jesus' name. And it's through him alone that we can serve. We can't do anything in our own right. It's through Christ and Christ alone. We're going to sing our last hymn. It's another one I've been bringing to you now for a few weeks. Well, I think it's been over a year now, actually. But let's stand together and sing, "Yet not I, but Christ in me."
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
See you.
Father, we thank you for our time of worship this morning, and we pray a blessing over all of us here, Lord. Guide us, protect us, may your Spirit lead us. Whisper in our ears, Lord, make us attentive to your every guidance. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring your hedge of protection around each one of us, because we know we're up against an enemy. There's an enemy within of the flesh, but there's an enemy without who wishes to destroy us and pull your church down. Lord, you will not let that happen. Protect us, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, folks. And let us know if you want to join us for the harvest meal.